Makalekaha makahadaho. Welcome to the Hawaiian cast. No, this is the Gloucester cast. We just got done with John Hicks. John, the video, he is not going to be part of the Gloucester cast, but we just did a really interesting piece with him.
Tremendous.
I think my favorite part was when he was singing, but he's a musician that is all about the ukulele.
Right.
I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But we have Mr. Jessica Brand. Mr. Jessica Brand is here.
Yes, the man behind the woman.
Otherwise known as Dennis Alves. We have Mrs. Grumpy Pants, Kim Smith.
You got names for everyone.
Good morning, Gloucester.
There you go. And we have Gloucester Cast Award winner for the third week, one Kim Smith's O Garden of Fresh Possibilities book, yeah. Leslie Heffron.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for coming, Leslie.
Yeah.
First time for you for the podcast.
Yes.
Have you listened to one before?
All the time.
You do?
I do, all the time.
See, we don't get the statistics. It drives me crazy. I think a lot more people listen than we think.
Right, because they say to us all the time.
I know, I get stopped on the street.
What's going on a weekly basis. Wow. We're listening every Sunday.
Well, it's fun,
tremendous,
right?
Tremendous to hear that.
All right. Great. You also said you don't live in Gloucester, you do live in Gloucester.
Well, I live in Rockport now. I lived in Gloucester for 10 years, moved back to Pennsylvania for 22 years, left on the day that they were doing the memorial for the guys that died in the perfect storm, and I said, I'm going to come back here someday. So 22 years later, I moved back. I got a job, came back, and I looked for a place in Gloucester, couldn't find one, so I live in Rockport, but it's all the same.
Yeah, Cape Ann, it's all good.
Cape Ann. Right.
Well, you're closer to the Brothers Brew Bacon Donuts.
So.
You're much closer. You got that going for you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You got that going for you. So how did you find the blog if you've been away for so long?
Well, I found it on, I think I went on the Gloucester Times. Online, mm-hmm. because I was looking for a place to live, and I saw that little logo of the seagull with the sunrise, and I'm an artist, and that immediately caught my attention, that visual image, and I just clicked on it, and then that opened a whole new world, and I said, what am I doing in Pennsylvania? I have to get back to Gloucester, because there were so many things that I found out about that weren't going on when I was here 20 years ago. And I thought, I have got, you know.
Oh, you found out about it on the blog, you mean?
From EJ, you know, from all her things she was doing, the Did You Know series. And I thought, there's a lot going on up here. Where I love Pennsylvania, where I'm from, it's sort of farm country, but I'm an artist and I like to be around the cultural scene. And there's something going on up here all the time, every 24/7. Day. And I found out about it from going on the blog, so that's why am I totally hooked to it.
There you go. Nice. I like it when people are hooked to it.
Yeah.
We also have Dennis Alves here, the half of the team that brought you the dinner dealer.
Yeah, one third. Now that we got Emerson in the picture, we're a three-man crew now.
I heard, our friend Alicia Cox, the Wolf, involved in it now too, a little bit?
Yes. Can I
help?
Jess is working out like the final details with her, but yes, Alicia is definitely involved with a
lot of energy.
I think she's going to be representing us with the Cape Ann Chamber of Commerce or something like that. I have all the details, but Jessica and her are, because she's a huge believer and she's a huge advocate of dinner dealers, so she's like, I've got to be involved in some way.
Very cool.
Which is her MO. She has her hand in everything.
So these are the new decks.
Yes, they're hot off the presses. We've had them out for the last couple of weeks, and to be honest with you, Joey, they're selling like hotcakes.
Of course they are. This time of year, I think I mentioned it on the last podcast. So like the number one easy gift to stash for when you didn't buy someone a gift and have them on hand to pass out.
Tons of people are getting them for Yankee swaps this year. You keep hearing a lot of
brilliant
Yankee swaps.
Oh, that's a perfect. Oh my gosh.
But yes, definitely stocking stuffers. But you know, we had an event a couple weeks ago at the Willowdale Estate, and we probably sold like maybe 100 decks that day. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, this would be like a great Yankee swap gift. One woman bought five. I'm like, you're in five Yankee swaps? I'm like, you're like a professional Yankee
swapper.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, wow. They're going like hotcakes. You can actually get them locally here at the Cave in downtown Gloucester. I know that Jess dropped off, I want to say like probably like 50 or 100 decks to her, because they're a huge thing for her in the month of December.
We should to back up a little bit in case we've put it on the blog a bunch of times. But the premise of dinner. How many cards are there?
There's 50 in the deck. 50 restaurants.
50 different restaurants are represented, and they have various dollars off. Like in one of my favorite restaurants, Foreign Affairs, $20 off of a $50 check. Casa de Luis, 10 off of 30. Passports, 5 off of 20. 20 off of 50 at the Cape Ann Brewing. I use that one every year. No, but that one, I mean, that's an easy, that pays for the deck one time. Deck. Everything else is gravy. It's absolutely, it's literally, here, Leslie's passing it off to Leslie.
And we got five freebies in the deck this year. So we got five places offering freebies in the deck, which we're really excited about.
Like what?
Boston Hot Dog Company in Salem, they're offering a free hot dog, any size. So you can get like a small little dog, or you can get their half-pound dog for free. They do have, I know, it's pretty nuts. A free macaroon from Signet Bakery in Marblehead, a free whoopie pie from the Whoopie Wagon in Topsfield, a free ice cream from Goody's Ice Cream in Danvers, a free popcorn from the Woolworth Theater in Marblehead, which is right next, attached to the same, to Palmer's Restaurant, and they're in our deck. So you could literally go to Palmer's, save $10 off your meal, go see a movie, get a free popcorn, and then after the movie, go across to your Signet Bakery and get a dessert to take home, because they're offering a free macaroon.
Kablammy,
right? You got a whole night plan right there.
You got a whole night plan. But literally, how much are the decks?
$25.
$25, perfect. Here you go, Kim. Everybody's can't get. Everybody's like grabbing at the decks.
And if you were to get it now, it'd be valid all the way through the end of next year. So you'd actually have like a 13-month window to kind of shop around. And one of the things that our customers are always telling us is, I keep it in my glove compartment. I keep it in my purse. Because as you're running around, you know, taking care of errands, if you happen to be in Hamilton, Essex, Manchester, Gloucester, and you're like, hey, let's stop for lunch somewhere. You're like, oh, great. And you know, they'll kind of skim through the deck. And they'll be like, oh, let's go here. We have other people emailing us, telling us how they plan out their whole year. They literally, you know, pick, you know, the couple times each month they're going to go out, where they're going to go to. And they try new places that they haven't heard of and places that they fall in love with.
There's also Duckworth in here.
No, that was my question. I was just about to ask, is Duckworth still in the beginning?
Yeah, if you're curious, these are all the restaurants.
Listen, Joey,
10
off 30.
10 off 30. I mean, right there.
Yeah, every restaurant in the deck, every restaurant in the deck is either 5, 10, or $20 off your meal. So really, you could use it twice and already...
Nicole loves
Mile
Marker 1.
I'm just going to read some of the ones that are close to Gloucester, right? En Fuego, Salt Kitchen in Ipswich, 15 Walnut in Hamilton, The Farm Bar and Grill in Essex, Duckworth's in Gloucester, George's Breakfast Shop in Gloucester. That's new.
Yeah.
They weren't in there last year.
Yeah, we got a bunch of new places this year. We got restaurants calling us now to be in the deck. It's awesome.
Oh. Lat 43, Mile Marker 1, Passports, the Pub at Cape Ann Brewery, Wally's Blackburn Bistro, Willow Rest, Manchester, you got Calla's, Casa de Luis, Essen, Foreign Affairs, Rockport, Nate's at Front Beach, Beverly, Half Baked, Nine Elm in Danvers, which people say is a great restaurant. Maggie's Farm in Middleton. I mean, Opus in Salem. Yeah, you got. I mean, the crazy not to buy even not for a gift for yourself.
Yeah,
this is a no brainer. But we'll put a link on the blog so you can people can buy them directly. If they buy them this week, will they have them for Christmas for sure?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we can take orders and guarantee it'll get to you all the way up to, I think, the 22nd of December.
Okay.
So even if you're last minute, like, oh my God, what am I going to do? If you put an order in. Last year, we were actually personally delivering some decks to people's homes to make sure they get there in time. It was kind of funny. It'd be like 9 o'clock at night, and I'm walking up onto someone's deck. They're like, what do you want? I'm like, I'm bringing your dinner to the table. They're like, oh, this is awesome. I'm like, well, got to make sure you get in time for Christmas.
That's
awesome. I'm telling you, a big guy in a black coat, and now I'm wearing an orange vest.
You know, it could be end up being a Ferguson situation.
Wear a Santa suit.
Yeah, exactly. But we're also doing
let's get the shape.
I know, I'm a big guy. Minus the beard. But we're also doing, just a lot of people know, we're doing a ton of fundraisers this month because there's a lot of organizations and nonprofits that are looking to fundraise around the holidays. And so we are partnering up a lot of organizations that are looking to fundraise. We let them keep $10 of every deck that they sell. And we know that a lot of organizations don't have that money to kind of put up front. So we're lending up the 50 on consignment. Okay. And then they can just give us... our share back.
Very cool.
So there's a lot of things that we're doing this month to really try to get out into the community and give back. And like I said, $10 of every deck is a great deal because it's a lot better than some of a lot of these other kind of partnerships.
It's a much better deal than attend, you go to these restaurants and a family of four goes there and they donate 10% back to the that organization. Right. A family of four goes for pizza, it's $60 bill, and the organization gets six measly dollars. And it's $60 out of their pocket. They could get a dinner dealer deck for $25, right. Save money all year long.
And
there's $10 that goes to the net. And people are happy to get that, you know, and people are happy to buy that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. We'll put the link on the blog directly. If any organizations that want to get involved with Dinner Dealer, they can contact you guys and set up a little.
Absolutely. We are super flexible to accommodate and partner with organizations in the best way it's going to make sense with them.
Blowing up. Okay, so a little order of business to take care of. The Good Morning Gloucester Christmas Party is December 19th at Bowdoin Historic Photo. For those people that are Good Morning Gloucester Google Plus community members, they got their personal invitation this morning. Hopefully you respond if you're coming. If not, I'm gonna buy the pizza. I'm sure Felicia will be making some desserts
and appetizers.
We're looking for people to bring what you want to drink. I'll get some ice there.
That's very important.
And stuff.
Yeah. That's very important.
We don't want the party to wind down for lack of booze.
Okay. Does it start at 5?
6.
It? 6. Okay.
6 to like midnight.
Days.
I don't know. Midnight.
Friday. It's
6 to when it ends.
That's right. Until we burn the place down.
This coming Friday. Right? Is that right?
The 19th, Kim. Oh, so 19th. Whenever the 19th is.
Okay.
Yeah, that. The 19th is week before Christmas. Just before
Am
Christmas.
I like, am I skipping a whole week here? When is the 19th?
It's not this Friday, but the Friday after.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. So please come to that. And sign up for the Good Morning Gloucester Google Plus community page. There's stuff that people get there that they don't get otherwise. A lot of sharing back and forth. I want to do props to a couple of the contributors for awesome contributions this week. Paul Morrison, we got on the Fremantle Doctor. One of our lobster boats brings Santa into Rockport every year. And he asked if I could get him on the boat, and I said, sure.
Sure, wow.
But I was a little concerned because a lot of times, like, you know, I could get him on the boat, and then I says, you got to do something good. You got to cover this, though. You don't just get on the boat, like, with Santa and then not bring the thunder. I want good coverage. You know? But he did me proud.
He
did good coverage. He live-blogged it. Nicole Wadsworth also live-blogged it, and he got some great shots with Santa coming into it.
Yeah.
And I like his little radar thing he had, too.
And it's a funny joke.
Do the kids ask where the reindeer are? Why is Santa coming on a boat?
It's good stuff, though.
Yeah.
Good
Even
stuff.
Rudolph needs a break every once in a while.
It's a cool tradition. They've been doing that a long time in Rockport.
Did Paul say in the cast in the post 30 years? This is the third.
Yes.
I think he said this is the 30th time.
Yes. Yeah.
I assumed he meant, 30th anniversary.
It was low tide, and so the climb up to the motif was
pretty
treacherous.
Yeah, his picture of the guy of Santa looking up kind of said it all.
Yeah. I should say. Craig Kimberly had a look, had a post of a really one of his drone videos about
awesome.
the Rockport Tool Company.
That was fantastic.
You know what I did? I had I've driven past that hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times. I had no idea the scope of that, the size of that property.
You can't.
That's exactly what Tom. That's exactly what Tom said. He was like, no clue.
Even if you go around to the back to the cove. You don't really see the expanse of it. It was massive.
Yes.
What kind of tools did they make there? I have no idea.
I don't know, but they said back in the day that there was like hammers, there was a forge and stuff, I think. I could be wrong. But they had like, there was some hammer that constantly, it was a precious, I don't know what it was, but you could hear that throughout the town. It was like
so loud.
Crazy loud, constant hammering in there. That probably kept the property values down for a while. And then, you know what I mean? Or like, and then when that went away, that's another one of these places that I'll never understand, why they will not let something happen there.
Like
it's a bit, it's
year after year.
It seems so
year.
Ridiculous
such
to me.
Such an eyesore.
Such an eyesore. I agree. And, some people, hopefully they get something really interesting down there. So much possibility.
Right.
so much possibility.
So beautiful. It could be
just but, I think so. Craig was like, you know, some people wrote something like "butt out." It doesn't have anything to do with you or something like that. And he took big time offense to it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think he stirred up a lot of emotions, which you know, the discussion about it, which I don't know if it's good or bad because it's just. You know, these anti-development people, I honestly feel like it's sport for a lot of them. Like they just that they take it that that like they know that they can make someone jump through hoops or something. So that it's all about like
preventing,
and right. They know that they can be powerful with just a handful of signatures and cost people, you know, these developers a ton of money. Just in delays and you know rewrites and stuff like that. So,
do you know any of the lobsters down there?
I do. I know a bunch
so
of the lobsters.
What do they think about the
Well, if you ask, here's the thing.
Good question.
If you ask, this is an example, right? Say you go out and you go in downtown Boston and you're in Post Office Square and you go to a lawyer, right? And you're a government agency, mm-hmm. and you say to them. We're trying to figure out, you know, what makes your business tick, and which we're going to appropriate some money, but we need to know, and you're a lawyer, and how critical would $10 a square foot office space be to your business? Would it be helpful to you, or what do you think they're going to say? They're going to say, yes, I am. If they think that they can get something from it. They're going to say, I absolutely need that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the lobstermen are going to say, if anything goes there, I'm going to be out of business. But I have a hard time believing.
Well, I think I even read something in the Gloucester Daily Times to the effect that what the current developer wants to do is not going to affect the lobstermen and that is not going to put restrictions on them coming and going. I
have a hard time believing that they would, and you know, and as long as those things are put in place, I mean, that's a big piece of property. When you come into a cove, right? Like, so there's a bunch of property owners that are around that cove.
Right.
If there's one on one side of the cove, and then there's another property owner on the other side of the cove. Both sides should have access to that cove. You can't say that the people on one side have that entire
have
the whole thing can go all the way across and no one else get to use it.
Right.
And I mean, because I'm familiar with this because we're in a cove here in East Gloucester, our dock, and each of our neighbors that go around, when it comes into a cove, what the Department of Environmental Protection when we were going through the zoning stuff was. You kind of, it's like a pie. So whatever you have for frontage, they kind of like slice it towards your equidistant. So if you only have a little bit of frontage, you have a little, you know, where it, because it comes into a point.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have, so each.
Interesting.
Give your slice.
Has a slice. But like, you can't be on one side of the cove and claim all the way to the other side of the cove.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just. So anyway, I just as long as the fishermen are protected and you put language into their deed that says, hey, you know, you have to recognize the commercial nature of this property and there's gonna be noise, there's gonna be starting of boats early in the morning, there may be stinky smells of fish and stuff like that, and for you to for us to give you this permit. You have to, you know, and you sell any, whatever it is. If you have retail, if you have residential, if you have commercial, you still have to recognize the commercial industry that's across the harbor from you. And, okay, and then go forward. You know what I mean?
I don't understand how would developing it hurt the lobster. I mean, I'm not a fisherman, so I'm actually generally curious about how that would theoretically impact.
Well, it's the same, you know, these anti-development people in Gloucester would say, you know, you can't have a restaurant or non-marine industrial activity next to marine industrial activity. But you have, for generations, you've had the Gloucester House next to Fisherman's Wharf, and Fisherman's Wharf was next to Captain's Courageous, and now Lat 43. You have the best example of it all is Captain Carlos, where they had the auction. And you have basically Captain Carlos is a nightclub/restaurant and Whale Watch, and all on the same piece of property. They coexist, but these anti-development people would tell you they can't coexist. But they have for generations.
Something has to be done up there because it is an eyesore. I live like 3 blocks away, and I walk by there all the time in my walk, and it's really.
But beyond it being an eyesore, the tax revenue.
I was going to say putting something there that's going to be economically viable would have to be good for the town in a number of different ways, for bringing in additional foot traffic, additional property tax revenue for the town.
You have to understand that there are a good number of people that consider business on any level, and the bigger the business, or the more money that potentially is going to be generated, that it is a direct correlation to evil. There are a lot of people like that. I mean, you can.
I think they're fearful of change, fearful of.
They're scared to death someone's going to make some money. Right. That's what they're scared to death.
And I think they're also just afraid of more. They worry about more congestion, more traffic.
That's a fair thing. Yeah. But I mean, when they had the tool company there, were there people not working there?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. It's
or noise and things like that. But I think of what it was like on East Main Street. There used to be a bowling alley and a nightclub right next to the fish drawing.
It's happened for generations, but it is what it is. And so
right now it's a sleepy little part of Rockport.
Yes,
I think some people like it.
I think you're right. That's
I think some development there would be a good thing.
But think of what kind of noise does that condo development down the street make? None, zero, zip. It's just.
Well, condo's another dirty word.
It's just as equally as residential as a homes. Right. As far as quiet factor and things like that. Yeah. So,
what would you like to see there?
I would love to see it mixed use there. I would love to see homes, businesses, recreational areas, and commercial fishing, commercial lobstering going there. I think that would be beautiful there. I mean, there's so much room there. There's enough for everything there. It's huge.
I agree. How about you, Leslie?
Access to the waterfront for the public.
That's what I meant by recreational.
I think that was a little bit of an issue. I hear all these things from different people.
Right. Because you live there.
I lived there, and I think there was an issue about the developer wanting to use the waterfront property for the private properties and not have any sort of public access.
They'll get stopped in their tracks if they try to do that. So
that's just what I hear.
Right. I think that's part of the problem.
The facts. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll
so hopefully it'll get worked out because it is a beautiful cove, and I think a lot of people would benefit from being down there and seeing how lovely it is.
Yes. I agree.
It's special.
Gorgeous. It's special. You're right.
Okay, so
that was Craig's awesome contribution.
Craig did an awesome job. Nicole always does a good job with her things every week. What did you do this week? What were some of your big ones?
I know you like the vines.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yes, the huge. Right, you made me very, very excited. She made my day. So Kim went down for ladies' night. And she said she was here earlier in the day. Would you bring me lunch, maybe?
Yeah, and I said I'm gonna go at 3.
You said you're gonna go at 3. I'm like, well, and you're like, oh, I should be home by 7 or 8, 7 o'clock. I'm like, well, if we want to affect people getting down to ladies' night, if you could get something up on the blog earlier is better, because people will see it at 3 and say, oh yeah, I can go down there. If you put it up at 7 o'clock at night and it's half over.
Who's gonna
be affected by it?
Right.
So I'm at the dock. It's semi busy day, actually very busy day. But happened to be. She started tweeting vines, and Vine is a 6-second video clip from a bunch of different downtown merchants. As I saw the vine, I embedded it in a post, the first one, and then I saw this pattern. She was going from place to place to place. We hadn't discussed this ahead of time, but as she was doing it, I made one post and I kept it up at the top of the blog, and it was all these 6-second clips. And the way, and without us even discussing this, the way she set it up was each clip was a visual of the sign and the location.
Right.
Another 2-second thing of the owner, or a second and a half
someone
of the owner,
working, right.
And then, or someone or a worker, and then a couple of shots of some of the interesting things that they're doing there, products or something. So it was, they were coming in. She was going from store to store. As they're coming in, I'm embedding them, adding them to this post, and re-uploading the post to the blog. And I was so proud and excited for her that that this modern technology that is free and available to everyone, that we kicked everyone's ass on ladies' nights. We've done this for a couple, we've done this for a bunch of years. But, you know, but like, 3 days before ladies' night, no one was even talking about ladies' night.
Right.
And, you know, I sent out a thing, you know, anyone, send me a press release for thing there. We'll post it, put them on the blog, that, you know, a couple days ahead of time. And, but then to use this technology and makes a finance, I mean, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars we put into merchants' pockets by this awareness, but it was this group effort. And in a very, it's just a, the geeky part of me was like, yes,
absolutely,
you know what
social
I mean?
Media aspect of it,
right? You're like, oh my god, like, yeah. Like, you know, the time. God bless the Gloucester Daily Times and other medias and stuff like that. But like, see, like for them to get do something like that, there's all this corporate levels that they have to ask permission.
Red tape and middlemen, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, oh, can we do this? And like, oh, I need permission. We have to reconfigure our website to be able to allow for this. And so it doesn't get done. You know what I mean? And this was seat of the pants. We didn't, Kim and I really didn't have a discussion. She said she was going down there. I saw her tweet. I'm like, we're doing it. You know, we're going to do it. And yeah. And
it was so much fun for me coming when I came back to my desk and saw them all, you know, strung together.
Yeah.
In between loading and unloading lobster, you're right. Sitting there
literally,
posting
that's,
and re-editing.
Literally, that's what he does,
but,
really.
But literally, that's how it worked. That's yeah. How quick it can be done. Like, you right. Know, a vine takes 6 seconds. Well, you know, yeah, in between, it could take her 2 minutes.
Right.
Then she presses send to Twitter.
Right.
Yep.
And puts a title in and sends it. So say each vine took her 3 minutes to do. Sends it on. I grab it. I'm in front of my desktop down the dock. Click the embed code. Put it onto the blog. And like,
right.
That's a visual. That like a picture tells 1,000 words.
Absolutely.
A vine tells.
So a vine tells 20,000 words. And like,
right.
Boom.
In success.
Got it done. And yeah. Like 1 hour's worth of work told. You know, countless stories and got people.
So how was ladies' night? Was it a huge success?
It was a huge success. And yeah. Also, Kathleen at Savor Wine and Cheese told me that they had their initial little rush, then it got quiet. Then all of a sudden, they got another big, huge rush, and it was different from last year. So she thinks it was directly correlated to the vines, because oh. She thinks that people, you know, saw it, you know, at 5 or 6 yeah. And said, oh, yeah, it's ladies' night, and ran down. So... Yeah. She was really happy.
Huge,
yeah.
Huge. Yeah, I was yeah. Really, really psyched about that. Yeah.
So I didn't get to go to ladies' night because I was working. So are ladies allowed at men's night?
Yes.
Oh, of
yes.
Course. Yeah. They'd love
yes.
To take your money.
Yeah,
believe me.
Yeah. Yeah, they're happy to see you. Yeah. No worries.
You got some. Yeah. If you got cash. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could yeah. Go down to you could go down to the cave and buy a couple dinner dealer decks. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've never been to the cave, so I will do that.
Yeah.
Great cheeses. Savor Wine Cheese, another place. Great yeah. Cheeses. You know, it's funny, like. Yeah. You think you go to like the supermarket, you buy cheese, and you get some decent cheese and stuff like that. They got some like, I never realized how heavenly and an out of body experience cheese. And you don't have to buy a whole pound, buy a quarter of a pound. It's like
liver.
Right, it's like $5, and you're like, and you sit there, and you just take a little piece off, and you sit in front of even a football game, whatever. Yeah. It's like, oh my god,
you
like,
know what?
These flavors, these tastes.
Oh like, yeah, I love cheese. I'm a cheese.
Orgasmic,
you,
right?
You, yeah,
you would
awesome.
Be in cheese heaven at the Whole Foods in Linfield, because. Like, the Whole Foods in Swampscott, they'll have, like, one or two cheeses out. The Whole Foods in Linfield always has, like, 30 cheeses out.
Oh, the one in the new
yeah,
the new
in the
space
market,
there?
Right, yeah, in the Market Square. You just go, and you can just try everything, and you just taste the most amazing cheeses that you would never think to try, and then you just buy a little tiny wedge of it.
Yeah.
Bring it home. I mean,
very cool.
You would be in cheese heaven there.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anytime you go there, there's, like, 30 cheeses spread out.
There
so.
You go. So what was also funny about ladies' night was, up until the day before, I hadn't heard one peep. I didn't get one press release, anything. And what ticked it off was Pop Gallery sent me a press
right.
release, and I looked and like, I guess they had one thing in the Times one day, I didn't see anything anywhere else about it. And
well, Kathleen, you know, just to keep mentioning Kathleen, but she also sent a press release.
But she didn't send it till the day of, or the day before. Day before, after she had seen it on the blog.
Oh, okay.
That's why it was like
a reminder. Yeah, it's such a shame. I mean, it should be. I think the more people who know about it ahead of time, then they'll have time to plan with a bunch of lady friends and girls to
I think it was very successful, but I just kind of, what the question that I have is, like, who is steering down the downtown group anymore? Because they had that big kind of pulling away from the chamber, and now there's, you know, there's different groups. There's like the downtown Gloucester group, and then there's the chamber, and then, but it just seems like the rudder is kind of, I don't know, like, right. Maybe there was just a breakdown for this one particular thing.
Well, hopefully we'll find out more about that. And there's a couple nights coming up, men's night, and I think I saw there's the first time ever, like,
Friends of Merchants Employee Night or something like that. Yeah,
so
that's going to be the first one ever, so.
Yeah, that looked interesting.
Instead of waiting for them to send me something and hoping that they send me something, maybe I'll reach out and find out what they're doing. Another huge props. Once again, another restaurant opens, and we broke two this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We had two. We had the China Port, and we had you.
Yes,
part of your ladies' night thing was they were getting pinoli. How do you say it? It's pignoli or pignoli?
I think it's
pinoli, right?
I think it's pinoli because there's no
pinoli.
G. There's no G there, but I don't know. I think it's pinoli.
I think it's pinolis too.
So.
Right, pinoli.
Right.
Which is Italian pine nuts. Well, not Italian, but pine nuts. That's what pinoli is.
Yeah, but I thought that was usually spelled with a G when it's pinoli.
I thought so,
nuts.
Too.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Well, we'll have to. Okay, so we were talking about pinoli.
Jessica Brand. Jessica Brand Alves. And yeah. Emerson Brand Alves. Oh, look at your ring. Jesus, Dennis. Whoa, that's a lot of bling right there. I just got blinded. The baby was the star of the show.
That's how I got her to marry me. It wasn't because she likes me.
Holy mackerel. She's got a beautiful diamond. Oh, look at Emerson smiling.
Oh,
hi, Emerson.
What a smiley.
The baby, the Jessica Alves Brand, that and brought her beautiful baby in. And, geez, you got all. This is a good year for you. This is a really good year for you.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the dinner deal is booming. You got restaurants begging to get in. You got a very successful launch on that. You did a great job. You sold a ton of them at the Manchester Athletic Club thing, Dennis was telling me.
Yeah, that was fun.
And you have the most beautiful baby ever. I mean, look at those
very,
eyes.
Yeah, very grateful.
You got a good
Every
year.
Every day, waking up very grateful.
Yeah, very good year.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi.
So,
I can't focus anymore.
Oh, no, I just totally lost everything. Okay. So
we were talking about
ladies' night's over. We're going on to the next up. Okay.
Pinoli.
This is pinoli. It's going to be open. They're shooting for December 8th in the former space.
December
18th. 18th. I'm sorry.
That's
Thank
it.
You for 18th. Correcting me. December 18th in the former space of Alchemy.
Yes.
And this guy, Paolo
Laboa
has won awards for his pesto, award-winning pesto.
Yeah.
And I
tasted something that he made for the Seafood Throwdown. That was really awesome, too. So.
I tasted something at one of the block parties that he made. It was out of this world. Next year, we're going to have to get him in the dealer deck.
Well, he will be. Yeah. They just didn't want to go to this year because they weren't open yet.
Right.
So playing it safe. They want to, you know.
Next year, they'll be
locked
in. I
even made a card
loaded.
For them and everything.
Do you want me
next
to,
year.
Do you want me to tell you what he said about the menu?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, he said for the first week, they're going to have probably a regular menu, but a steady menu for a week. But then after that, there's never going to be the same thing on the menu. He's going to
farm fresh kind of deal.
Yeah, he's just going to go shopping in the morning, you know, just like we do at home, find out what looks good, and then build the menu around that. So.
Right,
that's awesome.
Yeah, doesn't that sound
that's
awesome?
That's a huge trend. Ever since Alice Waters out in Chez Panisse in California, she started that whole trend with the, you know, farm fresh, and it makes sense to, instead of having a locked menu for a whole season or half a year or. Some places never
forever.
Change.
Forever.
When you obviously like, and I know this obviously through fish, because fish is seasonal. Like, you have certain runs of fish. So there's certain times when certain fish are overly abundant. They're super cheap because they're, you know, there's sometimes of the year there's none of them being landed, and they'd be $20 a pound, and sometimes they're, you know, 20 cents a pound because they're so overly abundant. Right. And when you can get super fresh ingredients and buy local, source locally, he's one of these guys that sources locally as much as possible. You know, anything you can get. So a lot of produce, right, comes from Mexico, and it comes from California and stuff like that. If you think about this, that stuff takes weeks or whatever to get here, right, and like goes through three different hands to get to you. When you could get something from the farm to the table, and freshness is
the flavors
are complete.
Harvested too early.
A lot of it's not vine ripened. They take it early.
The flavor and also the nutrient composition.
So are they still running the Osteria in Beverly, or is that their place, right?
You know what? I asked him about that, and he said that he was never really a partner in that. No.
Was he a chef there, though?
Yeah, he was a chef, and he was, you know, thought he was going to become a partner. But, right, so what the new deal with Marcus, he's a partner.
Oh,
in the new restaurant, he's a partner.
He's got a steak. He's got, he's going to take it to the new level.
There's motivation for you.
Also, there's this whole, I'm sure you're going to go down there and videotape for him and do all that, but there's this like whole area that they pushed back on that's really beautiful now, too, that you have a straight visual to it. People can go back and forth through there. I think he said that's where they're going to have like pizza and people working on things and stuff like that. And that's all open to them.
Well, I mean, there's been La Trattoria, which is an Italian restaurant in town. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we haven't had a dedicated Italian restaurant. I mean, and La Trattoria, they do great work there. They do very good. Yeah. Excellent place to eat. But this would be another option for people.
Yeah, so excited.
Very exciting. So December 18th, I'm sure they're going to get, send out some more information as it gets closer. We'll put the menu on for that first week. Emerson, I am distracted.
Yeah, nobody can.
Is everybody else as distracted as this baby, this beautiful baby?
The train of thought just kind of drifts from your brain.
Oh my God, such a beautiful baby.
He's smiling at me. Oh my goodness.
So congratulations. So Kim, that was another one of the top. We had a lot of big posts this week.
Yeah, we did.
A lot of big posts on Good Morning Laughter this week. The people that I have here probably are not aware of Scafani's pizza at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Well, just from reading the
it was going to be a topic discussion.
Well, do they put an egg in the middle of the pizza or something?
No. They make pizza every day, and at 9 o'clock in the morning you can go get pizza. There's sheet pan pizza, and it's one of the best pizzas in town. You know, there's all different. There's so many great pizzas in town, but this is just another style. It's the same style pizza. Yeah. It's delicious.
I think it's great.
And it's available at 9 a.m. But, like, the topic of discussion in at the dock the other day was, first of all, it's really cheap. It's only like $1.25 a slice. But other than that, like, my cousin had mentioned, he's like, oh, yeah, you got to go corner slice. And to my line of thinking, I was like, corner slice, really? Like,
when you say Sicilian style, are you talking like a thicker?
It's a thicker crust,
and it's made like a cookie sheet or a sheet pan. Yes, you got to go for the corner. The corners are the best.
Really? Okay, why? Because you're a crust guy,
huh?
Because you're a crust guy?
Yeah, it's like when someone makes a batch of brownies. You always want the corner pieces. That's where the flavor is. The corner.
See, that my theory was that a non-corner piece where you get more sauce and cheese. Because you don't lose that.
You get great texture with the crunch. You get additional flavor. I'm telling you, there is a Sicilian style place not far from where I work, and I go there a lot, and I always make sure to get a corner piece.
Yeah, you ask the client. Well, you and Frankie are on the same page.
I don't know Frankie, but I like his style.
You like his style.
Sicilian, don't the toppings go all the way to the edge? Because it's on a cookie sheet, like, don't they?
Well, the edge comes up. There's enough to hold on to there. Yeah.
Trust me, Joey. Get a corner next time you're there. You'll know what we're talking about.
Okay. Thank you. I love it. I love the passion. Dennis knows.
There aren't many things that I know in life. That's one.
All right. Here's a question. So
what made you get pizza at 9 a.m. in the morning?
Why not?
Instead of like breakfast, Instead of like your traditional breakfast.
You walk in there, like you've been, I've already been working since, you know, right. I get up at 4 for
it's
work.
Not really breakfast for
it's
you.
Really like the. It
well,
is it's
warm, hot cheese dinner and sustenance when you're starving, you know, when you're starving because you've been working your ass off for 4 hours so far.
So it's not really your breakfast. Because you had breakfast earlier. When
you it's breakfast.
It's kind of breakfast.
It's breakfast number two.
I'm not, believe me, I'm not the only guy. Like, local guys or local people know about Scafani's Pizza and go there at 9 o'clock in the morning for the pizza and a sub. So what you do is you get the move is, you get one or two slices of pizza, you start eating it while they're making your sandwich that they on the bread that they just came out of the oven.
Nice.
And you get like a slice of pizza and an Italian sub or a really good sub. For less than like $7, it's total no brainer.
Right.
Yeah.
Very hearty.
Very hearty. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Very good.
I just was wondering, did you do a lot of things on the blog about all the great breakfasts in town?
We're blessed like that. Jessica almost bit it. She almost went over on her chair. Now here's a question: sweet sauce or non-sweet sauce?
Savory
for pizza?
Yeah. What's your favorite?
Probably not sweet sauce.
Not sweet sauce.
Yeah.
Kim?
Savory.
Savory.
I'm a sweet sauce guy.
Sweet sauce guy.
Sweet.
And Leslie?
Sweet.
There you go. Yeah. There's so many. Gloucester, two things that Gloucester, there's a bunch of things that Gloucester is going for. I mean, the sheer number of restaurants, sheer number of awesome, cool breakfast places that are not chain breakfast places.
Yeah. That's very
The sheer number of pizza places. We hit upon this a while back, but it bears repeating. Like, we only have a couple weaknesses on the dining front. Indian, we don't have. And I can't think of too many other. But, like, is there any kind of restaurant you'd like to see around here, Leslie?
Well, I'm pretty happy with what we have.
No, is there anything that you would that you would like to see?
I don't know. What about a French bistro?
Well, we got Duckworth's, right?
Lebanese.
Yeah.
Love to see a Lebanese place.
No. Well, they got that Marcou bread.
North Shore, period.
Marcou bread. Yeah. They make it on the dome, but there and then are all the fairs.
Yeah.
That's authentic Lebanese.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea. I love the idea of Indian. So I'm hoping, you know, has anybody heard what's going on at Giuseppe's?
They haven't got anything in there. I think the rents are pretty steep there. That's a good spot, so we'll see. Maybe it'll make sense.
But yeah, it's a great corner location. There.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. There's a couple places in play. It'll be interesting to see what happens at Madfish Wharf for next summer.
Mm-hmm.
If they're gonna continue as Madfish Wharf, or if they get bought out and competent management team takes over there, that would be nice.
Add to the studio in Rudder over there.
Yeah, it's banging. Awesome, just awesome.
I would like to see a restaurant in Pigeon Cove because that's where I live.
So you would like to see the Tool Factory restaurant as part of that complex?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
God forbid. Bite your tongue. I mean, there's people that are. We're going to get hate mail now that you had the audacity to suggest that neighborhood could have
the first one.
No, believe me. A lot of people wrote in and said just that. A lot of people said just that.
Like,
do you ever? So you live in that neighborhood. Did you ever go to the Emerson Inn? They say the food there is really good.
No, I never went there.
You ought to go because I think Fred Bowden and Paul Morrison, who live in that neighborhood, both always sing the praises of that place.
Yeah, we've been there before.
Emerson Inn.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
Named after the college, just like your child.
I went to Emerson College.
I know. We had this discussion.
Everyone thinks that's why his name is Emerson.
You forgot our conversation because that's what we talked about in the podcast.
It's the lack of sleep.
That was my
I don't
joke.
Remember much.
He missed my joke. It went right over his head. He was part of it. Jesus. Dang it. I want to give props to a place that I've been trying to get to for 6 months, and I finally hit it while it was open. The Magic Scarf Company, which is right next to Art Haven and across from the police station on the corner there of... Mm-hmm. It's the corner of Pleasant and Main.
Right, is that the Browns? Is it in the Browns building?
No.
No, okay.
I think that's separate, actually.
Okay.
But it's in that corner spot. Okay. Maybe it is. I don't think that. It may be the Browns building. I'm not positive.
Okay.
But it's that corner. Okay. Opposite corner of...
The police station.
The police station. Right. So they have... It's... I guarantee you so many people don't know. They bought... This guy who owns it bought 3 massage chairs. And you think of massage chairs and you think of what they have at the mall that you throw in a dollar and you know, they're probably somewhat effective, whatever, but they are not these. They are 10 times level higher massage chairs. They are the
Rolls Royce of massage.
They're the Rolls Royce. They're like, I think they said they're either $15,000 or $20,000 per unit. Like
what?
Out of control, like what? Crazy.
Really?
Huh?
For a chair?
For a massage? It's a massage chair.
That thing better take 5 years off your life for that kind of money.
Right. So
tried it out.
Well, they open late for some. Like you can like they don't open till 11 o'clock in the morning most days. And so I'm usually working at that time of the day. This day was like a bad storm, and I happened to be there when they opened, and I got to try it out. It's $12, excuse me, for half an hour. And they set the different levels. The lady adjusts, everything adjusts. So your body is cradled by this machine, and there's different levels of intensity. She looked at me, and she said, oh, you're kind of athletic, so we're going to ramp it up a little bit for you, and if you weren't, we would take it a little easy on you and stuff. And she, I think it was at like 65% or 70% of what the thing could really kick your butt on. And I have to tell you, like, I'm very tight. I have huge knots. I try to get massages, but I can't afford a $70 to $100 massage with a tip like every 2 weeks. I can't afford it every month. It's just not in my, I still like to get massages. And I still will get massages probably a couple times a year, but in between,
yeah,
like for $12 for a half hour, like I got it, and it really beats the shit out of you.
Yeah,
like it's like they're digging the rollers are really digging in, but they're getting those knots out. And so the next day, I was at work, and I fully expect, because we had a really tough day at work the day before, so I fully expected to be.
Really,
I move stiff. If people know me, like this time of year, I move really slowly, very stiff, and everything's kind of messed up. This, like, I had probably 50% easier motion than I had before I got the thing done for $12.
Really?
So it's not a massage. It's like, you have to understand, it's like, it's not, it's not going to completely take the place of a massage, but it's going to, but the bang for the buck for the $12. Is a huge worth it thing to take in between the times where you actually may go for a massage. Hmm. So
do the chairs warm up?
They do. They have heat. They have heat. They have levels of intensity. They have
deep tissues.
They have. You can have it whichever way you want. Does your arms? Does your fingers? Does
you lie on your back? You don't go.
You lay on your back. She presses a button. It cradles you. It tilts you back. I'm telling you, it has like 50 different adjustments. She does it for you. And it is. I stand firmly behind.
Was it hard to get? Was it hard to? Do you have to like make an appointment to use the chair?
No, I don't think people. I don't think a lot of people know about it. And because they're scheduled, they don't open till 11. You know.
Right. That's kind of a weird.
So walk-ins are welcome.
Walk-ins are very welcome. Oh, okay. You don't have to. And that's another beauty, is you can fit it into your schedule. You don't have to do it just when, you know. Oh.
I think that's a great gift for a new mom and dad.
Yes.
A great gift for.
Or even if someone's pregnant too, just get on there and lay down and get them.
But you see, so $12 for a half hour. They say if you buy $100 worth, they knock it down to $10 for per visit if you pay up front for 10. So
gift certificates.
Good gift certificate.
Yeah,
I will be going into it, and I will be using it to try to get me through the year.
Yeah.
But do you guys, Jessica, and do you guys have any restaurant news? Because you talk to all these different restaurants. Anything coming up that we should know about?
Oh my gosh, on the spot here. oh my gosh, what is this? Fill the air.
Dennis.
Jessica's usually on the front lines. I'm more on the business development side of things. She's on the front line with all the restaurants.
I'm gonna let both of you think about it.
Yes.
Leslie, have you had any dining experiences lately or food things that you want to share?
I used to take out at Thai Choice.
That's a good spot. Thai Choice is a great spot.
Yeah.
You do.
So you go to yoga.
So what do you get? What dishes do you get? Do you get the same thing every time? Do you get pad thai? Yeah, it's almost like mandatory, right? But what else?
That's it.
Just the order of pad thai?
That's all I get.
Well, it has the noodles.
It does.
It
has
the beans.
It is huge. Just two meals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two or three, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I add some veggies at home.
Good Good plan.
Interesting. Yeah. Good move. Solid. Thai Choice is
good tempura
one there, of the too. Best Thai places around, and we have it here in Gloucester. How about you, Kim? Any dining experiences for you this week?
Well, it was out of town. It was at Lucky's Lounge in Boston, where we had a big reunion with family and friends. That was a lot.
Oh, Lucky, was that on Boylston?
No, it's on Congress Street. So it was just a great place for like 20 of us to go with our kids.
Oh, Lucky's Lounge came on. I remember when they came on the scene. Yeah. They came on the scene. I want to say I just bought my car on the back shore, 2001 or so. I think that they, or just before 2001, I think they came on the
did
scene.
Did they? Yeah.
I was dating a girl that actually worked with the owners in decorating.
In decorating. It's very trendy down there. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a hip spot. Yeah,
it was really fun. Yeah. We just had an awesome time. The food was really, really good, too, and very affordable, very reasonable.
How about that ukulele guy, though?
Oh, he was he cool? John.
God, I was, you know, I wonder if I could...
Yeah,
get an MP3 clip of him playing
to on the
exit part of the podcast.
I think people are going to be really thrilled when they see this interview that you just did with him, because John is just so, he just shares so much information about the history of the ukulele.
You know what I thought was the coolest part about him? I mean, he's very passionate about, after you get past the fact that he is all about the ukulele and the ukulele is his life. How sweet the guy was, and how his emotions were like. Right, he was living on the edge of his emotions, like ready to break into tears. I felt like he was going to be in tears every 10 seconds.
Yeah, talking
like when he talked about his friend that passed, and then like, but then he said he finished up with a song. He's like, "I'm verklempt, verklempt." Did you get that?
Yeah.
Did you pick up that? Yeah. That's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an artist. He's a true artist. You know.
Wonderful.
Yeah, John Hicks.
Yep.
Hopefully he gets his website updated. Okay, yeah. Jessica is like deep in thought.
Yeah, I found something. Well, what was different this year was Mile Marker 1 is open 7 days a week, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh.
Are they really?
Yeah, that's really? What they I had to update their card to reflect that information.
Oh, that's interesting.
There you
that
go.
Was exciting.
All year round?
Yeah, year round. So Monday.
I want to say that I heard... Oh, I hope I'm not wrong. Okay, just put this into unconfirmed rumor category that they got a year-round liquor license just recently, and that they got one, and I don't know if they got the Cameron's one or someplace else.
Okay,
but so I heard I could be way off base. I'm gonna pin this at 67% accuracy that they got a year-round.
It's a very specific number, 67, not 68.
I'm all about the percentages. That's what I like to like. When I don't know something, okay. Here's a topic.
Okay.
When I don't know something for sure, I know a lot of people in my life that you can ask them a question and they don't know, but they will say matter-of-factly an answer. And they like can be completely talking out of their ass, but they were so convincing that you rely on that information. I am polar opposite of that. If I don't know the answer, I like to give percentages. Like, I'm like, I think that's the case, and like, or if they say, oh, can you make it to this thing? I always give percentages of, there's 80% chance that I can make it. Or there's a 30% chance I can make it.
I'm gonna take that out of your repertoire and start using it myself.
Use it.
Yeah.
Jessica, Dennis, where are my shoes? There's a 53.5% chance it's in the closet.
Boom. But you have better credibility that way. Well, some very nice people in my life they didn't care about.
I think the media should start doing that, Joey. Imagine if they were doing news reports like that; it would be hilarious.
Well, news reports are one thing because you have to be factual if you're a reporter. But if you're a blogger, you can talk. You can go. You can go on. I think that there's a 70% chance that this might be right. But like you get your ass handed to you if you like. Oh, for Rolling Stone just had to retract.
Yes, that story about the University of Virginia and the rape story,
they
had to retract it because it was fraudulent.
Yeah, really? They acted like these are reporters. Rolling Stone, you think that they're top notch. You go by.
See if they had published that story and said, hey, there's a 75% chance that this is accurate, then they would have covered themselves.
They could have kept it in. They didn't have to reject it at that point.
Wait, we only told you there's a 3 out of 4 chance that that it's right.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's egg on their face stuff.
Big time.
Yeah. Ooh, that's
big
bad.
Time.
Those the feminazis, they'll just it doesn't matter
because that stigma sticks with the college and with the fraternities at that school.
Nothing.
I mean, even though they were tracting it, I mean, once you throw something like that out there, it's...
We all know the situation. Yeah. I mean, it's terrible. Both sides. I don't want to go down that path. Yeah, like there's nothing... rape is like the absolute... Like the lowest, worst thing you can do. But I think that like some of these feminist groups, they lump like men, like they
it's terrible to be falsely accused. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible crime, and then to be falsely accused of it.
But I think they're like a lot of them like say, come across like all men are, you know. I don't know. I just think that they will go overboard sometimes with things like, you know, like not being able to compliment women because that, you know, you're contributing to rape culture. You know, like those things, I think they lose a little credibility on that and stuff.
It's dangerous to kind of have a broad stroke around groups of people and things, you know?
Yeah.
Because you can't do that.
Well, they can. It seems like they feel like they can. But you know what? I think, like, awareness is that they're giving a lot of good awareness to certain things. I just hope that, like, I think their big thing, like a college campus, they say a lot of their big thing is that that colleges underreport rapes because they don't want to have the statistics that make women not want to go to these colleges.
Right, and then they lose their donor funding.
And so there's a whole bunch of financial ramifications political stuff that goes on with it. But I also feel that, I think that like they would have. They would have the perpetrator, or like the alleged perpetrator, convicted before they have their trial. And that's where, and I think that is where the college administrators are put in the spot, because they're beholden to their trustees or whatever it is that to the college to not get it wrong. and they would, I think that they would rather. But I think maybe where they're not doing it right is, I think that they should immediately have it go to the police, and the police should handle it rather than, you know, and then just, and then they can say, all right, the police is going to handle this.
You can't investigate yourself.
Right.
Well, they can't investigate.
And I think that's probably where the problem lies is.
Right. It's a police.
Take it out of the administrator's hands.
Right.
And let justice. It's just a tough situation for them to. Because if they go and they kick the kid out of school right off the bat and say it does come out that the kid didn't do it or something, and then they're going to get sued for millions of dollars there. You know, it's like a total no-win situation. And it's no win on either way. And, you know, I'm not taking sides. All I'm saying is I can see both sides.
Right, yeah. And I think you had a really good point. That's where it should just go right to the police.
Have the police handle it.
If the police matter that way, then the school is not responsible.
That's the way I feel about it.
Right.
So, anyway.
It's a criminal matter.
It is a criminal matter. Let them investigate it and come down to their findings. Anyway, it's just such an upbeat topic for us to wrap up.
No better way to start your Sunday morning.
Right, and it's Christmas coming.
Yeah.
Well, weren't there some college kids that invented some kind of like
pill? The app?
No, you
have to press the button on the phone and say I consent to having sex with you. Have you seen the app?
No.
Yeah, it's an app. It's an app.
So the guy
gets the girl to say this is going to be consensual. Before he has sex, because, you know,
it must be somehow
to cover him.
Right, it must be somehow designed that, because anybody could press any button and say, yes, she consented. You know, I don't know.
But I think it has to. I don't know. There's some kind of thing. But it exists.
It's a signature involved.
To detect any drugs and drinks, so like it turns the drink blue. If it's
an app.
A pill or some kind of tablet that girls can put, you know, in their cocktail to see if it's gotten
for the date rape stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
Some kind of like,
that's creepy.
It just changes color or something like I don't even know what. But it was some young kids that invented it. I don't know if it was a Kickstarter campaign or not, but
that's brilliant. They should hand them out for free on college campuses.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
Oh really? I mean, hand them out for free.
Yeah. Right.
You
know?
Right.
I mean
that was one of the first things I told my daughter when she went to college.
Don't put your drink down.
No open.
Oh my God! How much anger would you have as a parent to find out your daughter was drugged and raped. Oh my God, I can't even imagine the level of anger that you could feel on that. Helpless, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Helpless to
have prevented it
or helped them. Shivers. Yeah.
Well, this is something that I thought about when my daughter was at BU a lot was because the drinking age is 18.
Where? It's 21.
Because the drinking age is 21, they've created this whole culture where the kids don't go to bars and nightclubs to drink. They go to private homes off campus to drink, where there is just a plethora of alcohol. And it's not monitored. Like, if you're a young person and you go to a bar, you have to buy a $6 or $7 cocktail. You're not just gonna... So up until the child's 21, they are... Any kind of social activity that involves alcohol happens off campus or...
Most of it's in the dorms, though, isn't it?
No.
It's a lot more economical for them. I mean, right. Think about it. A lot of them spend like $5
and
they...
Most of it's... Yeah. Well, like at BU, it is policed so heavily. None of it takes place in the dorms. If you are... I mean, it is policed so heavily. If there's even a can of beer...
I guess it's different than the late 80s when I was in college. We did not leave campus.
And on the applications, they asked you what kind of beer you liked, right?
No, not exactly. But there was not... seven nights a week, there were keg parties on campus.
Seriously, there is nothing on campus because the schools are at such liabilities now. So everything happens off campus at
God almighty.
Creepy, crazy, weird...
Well, they shut down. So that storage... That story in Virginia, they shut down all Greek life. I mean, generations of families in the same fraternities and sororities, they shut them down based on this story that turned out to be false.
And right.
You know, I mean, you may or may not like frats or sororities, but for a lot of people, it meant a lot of things to a lot of people.
Right, and based on now it's shown that it's based on false allegations. So,
I mean, crazy. There's enough. It's just easy to use that thing. Oh, it doesn't just happen at fraternities and sororities. They have parties just like the football team has parties. Just like everybody has parties. You know, in college you're having parties.
Now the Duke lacrosse thing from 5 or 6 years ago. You know, the Duke lacrosse, they were just having a party and, you know, the allegations came up and it turned out, you know, they got this huge thing in the news and the kids, their faces were all over the television and it turns out the person that accused it wasn't the most credible individual.
But I guess, you know what the thing is? The point is, there's probably more rape, I'm sure that there's more rapes that were actually rapes than false accusations of rapes. But point is that, it happens unilaterally. It's not just college campuses. It's not just fraternities. It's not just... It happens... Like, if you're not in a fraternity, plenty of people have parties that are not in fraternities. Or plenty of people... You know what
right.
I mean? It's just...
That's true.
To mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's sad. There's no winning. There's
it's
no winning in the whole situation.
Lose for
but I would say, like, get it off of... Take it off of the administrator's hands and put it to the police.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
I think that the police were hesitant to get involved in incidences that happened on college campuses because that's not really a public domain. So I think that's why.
But still, it's a crime. It's a crime.
It's a very nebulous kind of area. It's difficult to resolve.
Hmm. There's no straight line answers, and but it's just. I don't know. I hate the hard lines on that some people take that end up hurting some innocent people, but. They're trying to. I get where they're going. They're trying to save bigger groups.
Yep.
Right.
You know. And so there you go. Anyway, Emerson's going to lead us out, I guess.
Well, I just had a question about Paul Frontiero's.
Oh Jesus! We almost didn't announce it.
Yeah.
Hold on one second.
Checklist.
I have it written down. The winner of the third week, Paul Frontiero's sketch. Oh God! Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much.
It's right there on the desk.
Is right. I know. They get to pick which one they want.
Right. This is Joey's personal one, but
this is a
gift. It'll be like this.
Okay.
The winner is Jillian LaFlamme. Jillian LaFlamme was the winner of this this week's thing, Polly Walnuts. I'll send her an email, and she can contact Polly. I'll send Polly Walnuts' email address, and she can make her request. Congratulations on your 24 karat gold plated sketched thing.
Mini sketch there.
Yes, yeah. Dollar store. 24 karat. Did you know they had 24 karat gold at the dollar store?
I did not.
Not many people knew that.
Best deal in town.
Yeah, definitely best deal in town. Well, this is it for the Gloucestercast. It's December 7th for Dennis Alves, Kim, Mrs. Grumpy Pants Smith, Leslie Heffron,
like
Jessica Brand Alves, and Emerson Alves. Have a great day, y'all.